Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Grace Hour. For those of you new to the program, we are a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn how to walk in faith in a practical way. We've been talking here on the Grace Hour all this week about how does God work through us? That's a very important thought. How does God work through us? Because if you don't understand how God works through you, then you're going to try to work for you. And that's not the way God's plan works for us in life. God works through us. And we're talking about the power of God working in us today to give us victory over sin. I'm Pastor Rinaldo, and I'm in studio today with Pastor Schiavelli, back firing on all cylinders, reporting for duty, ready for action. He's all set. Pastor Schiavelli, welcome.
Well, it's great to be here. I think I've been away for a bit, have I?
Just a bit.
Not very long, but a bit. But this is a great subject, victory over sin and how God works through us. Now, I'd like to ask a question, like, did you win the victory over sin or did Jesus Christ win the victory over sin? If Jesus Christ won the victory over sin, which he did, John 19:30, Galatians 2:20-21, then he's the only one that can be available and ready and able to work through us.
I see.
He won the victory over sin. So now that when I have this walk with God that everybody has, then that's born again, then am I going to let God do the work? You know, there used to be a song they sang many, 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 many years ago in Africa about being confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will perform it through Jesus Christ. And so that's really key. Philippians 1:6 and 2:12-13 are two great verses. And I would like you to read them.
Sure.
Philippians 1:6 and then 2:12-13.
Okay, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not always in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Don't you like those two statements?
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he work in the will, but the do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't leave the do to you. He leaves it to himself. He works in his will. That's through his word. And then the ability to perform his will is by God himself. Like, how often do we try to perform God's will in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
We end up very frustrated, worn out, tired, start to get a little bit aggravated with people around us as believers.
Exactly.
And this is what takes place. But letting God do the work, he's won the victory over sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much easier is it for me to receive what he has done? This is what's known as the finished work.
Okay.
Very important to understand that. There's people that use the phrase, but do they actually operate in the finished work? They use the Christian phraseology, we believe that God has done the work, it's a finished work.
Yes.
But when it comes to daily activity in the Christian life, do they allow that to take place? Finished work in them, in individuals, in situations, in relationships, in church planting, in church governance, in all that's taking place, in bringing the gospel into all the world. It's God that does the work. And of course, he uses us.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would he have given us the person of the Holy Spirit?
You know,
some people think they just have some power in them. Well, you have the power of a person. You have the power of a person.
So
God gives you himself, and he gives us the power of the person.
That's beautiful.
Not just the power, but the power of the person of God himself.
Right.
And so God works in us and through us. He's won the victory over sin, and he works in us and then through us. And Paul had to say this to the Philippians. And by the way, he uses the word confidence a number of times in this epistle. And confidence means I have an assurance based upon who God is and what God has done and what God will do.
Mm.
I have confidence. Do I have confidence? There's a lot of people that are, even as believers, even pastors and missionaries, they have confidence, but it's self-confidence.
Ah.
Confidence in their own ability. Confidence in something other than God himself. Having confidence in God himself. And this is so important. We've seen missionaries that have gone in the past, people like Livingstone to Africa and Judson to Burma and people to China and many different parts of the world, South America. and they place their confidence in God,
mm-hmm.
not just for their salvation alone, not just for their growth, but to do the work of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so key. In a marriage, is my confidence in the marriage partner, mm-hmm. or is it in God in the marriage partner?
Mm-hmm.
What is my confidence in? In some kind of marriage counseling, something that's secular and worldly, or is my confidence in God himself? And this is so key in all of our lives. When we come on the air today, mm-hmm. is it because we have confidence in our own ability to do the Grace Hour program?
Nope.
Or do we have confidence in God? This
Absolutely.
Is really important. Where does the confidence begin? So here's some aspects of sources of confidence. Romans 8:37, God's love. We are mm-hmm. more than conquerors to him who loves us. I have confidence that God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
But God loving me, by the way, when it says Romans 8:31, if God be for you, the word if isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It says in view of the certain fact that God is for you, who can be against you? So I have confidence in God's love, Romans 8:37, a real confidence that God loves me eternally and personally. I have confidence not in my faith, but in the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20 mm-hmm. and 1 John 5:4. Mm-hmm. I have confidence in his faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say our faith, and there's italics there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have confidence in God's faith. I have confidence in God's work. I have confidence in the finished work, that he has done it all. He's finished the work. I have confidence in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Can the Holy Spirit perform the work of God?
Yes.
I'm sure that we would answer yes, but do I have confidence in my own ability or in the confidence in the Spirit? Do I have confidence in grace to do in me and in the church mm-hmm. and in the mission, the work of God, having confidence. This is so key. Self-confidence and self-reliance is one of the most poisonous things that can attack a church and a believer today.
Wow.
They just live in self-confidence and self-importance, self-confidence in my walk with God and in my church planting or in the mission, having confidence in self. And you can see some people that have gone overseas and like they don't even know one word of the language, but they have confidence in God, and men that really would not be capable of learning a language could learn a language very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I think we remember Joe Roach was one of them,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he could learn like languages in just a few days. He could learn a language just by listening.
Mm-hmm.
But having confidence in God's love, confidence in God's faith, confidence in God's finished work, confidence in God's Spirit, confidence in the grace of God, then we have this amazing victory. I was thinking about David in regards to this particular subject. Not only is he a king, but he's also a soldier. He's going to fight in battles. Not only is he a soldier, but he's a writer of the Bible. Not only is he a writer of the Bible, but his faith is spoken of throughout Israel and the New Testament and even today. We always talk about David and Goliath.
Sure.
When he faced Goliath, I mean, he had confidence. He mm-hmm. ran
yes.
to meet Goliath. He didn't walk or go sideways or like look over his shoulder to find out who was going to help. He ran at Goliath. And by the way, the reason he had, I know we have these people that say that the five smooth stones were, five is for grace. No, no, I don't agree with that. Five is for Goliath and his four brothers.
Okay.
Goliath had four brothers, and David was willing to kill the five of them, all of them. So David had confidence in that. David, the confidence that he would be a witness to the world as he is today. We're mm. talking about David 1,000 years later.
Sure.
Right? So what confidence he had, but it was all based upon God. Just a shepherd boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember that song that used to be sung about the shepherd boy becoming a king?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. I love that song. Shepherd boy becoming a king.
But I will not sing it right now.
No, no, no. We had a man that used to sing it very well.
Oh.
He was really great at that. So having confidence in God, how am I going to live my Christian life?
Uh-huh.
What am I basing my confidence, my assurance, my certainty of truth on? Is it upon my ability or is it upon God and his love, his faith, his finished work, his Spirit, his grace? Having confidence in God. And this is lacking today.
Sure.
And people, do we teach Sunday school children? Do we teach teenagers about having confidence in God? You know, you take a look at what teenagers did in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
How did they do that? They had confidence. Ruth was 16 years old
mm-hmm.
when she got that call from God. David was 17 years old when he faced Goliath. These are young people, mm-hmm. very young, having confidence in God. And we're going out to Long Beach soon. Right.
California.
Is that California?
Southern California.
Long Beach, California. With
Team
Pastor
Harrison.
Manny,
yep.
Pastor Manny Harrison and Molly and Chris and Chris and other people.
Wachowski, yeah.
Wachowskis. And
then, Chinadu.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chinadu?
He should also be there.
Yeah, so.
And Joe is there.
And they've gone out there. Why? Why did they go out there? You say, aren't they a little bit elderly to be missionaries, new missionaries going out there? No, they have confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
This is so key. Some people say, well, it's time to retire. Well, that means you have no confidence in God. I don't mean retirement. You could take your retirement anytime you want. I'm not talking about that, but retirement from Christianity. Yeah. What happened to your confidence? What happened to your confidence in God? And so this is why there's such a need for mission work mm-hmm. today. I think America used to give 90% of the money and 90% of all the missionaries that went into all the world came from the United States. Mm-hmm. Now it's at a 25 to 30%.
Wow.
It's dropped that far. What's happened? I think it's a matter of confidence, mm-hmm. really, that people need to be built up and have confidence. Churches, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can plant churches. We had a church many years ago in the 70s in Massachusetts,
yeah.
And we decided, and we had a home base of operation with Pastor Stevens, but we decided we wanted to plant churches. Planted a church in Greece, planted a church in Africa, planted a church in the United Arab Emirates, planted a church in Chile. I mean, Pakistan with David Bowen. Why? Because the leadership had confidence in God,
mm-hmm.
not in our finances, not in this or that, but having confidence in God. And by the way, people that lack confidence in God, that's when you should really think about the importance of Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
Bible school will give you a 3-year course in confidence in God. Mm-hmm. You say, what about going to Bible school? What do I need that for? Well, because basically, where's your confidence? Mm-hmm. Is it in yourself or is it in God? So Philippians, he's saying this. Now, remember, Paul's in prison.
Yes.
He's writing this epistle to Philippians who are under attack on the outside by Jews, by pagans, and by Rome. They're under attack on the inside. Two women are murmuring mm-hmm. and causing problems on the inside. All kinds of problems. And their apostle is in prison. Their pastor is sick and dying, mm-hmm. okay? And Paul is talking about confidence. Mm. You take a look at the situation naturally, you want to run away.
Mm.
You say, you got to be kidding me. Rome, the Jews, the pagans, our pastor is sick and dying. Our apostle who planted the church is in prison.
Mm-hmm.
We got people murmuring in the church, trying to divide the church. No, it's time for confidence in God.
Mm.
It's time for confidence in God. And sometimes God will even allow men, leadership and whatnot, to move away.
Sure.
And where is your confidence? Is it in them? Mm-hmm. And it is in them when God is in them, and it is in them for a time and a period. Mm-hmm. But one day it might be, well, I'm going. See you later. I remember when I left Africa, they said, how can you leave after 5 years? Can you leave this work? We had 6 churches. I said, how can I leave with my feet? What do you mean, how can I leave? I'm on an airplane. You know, I have confidence in you men to do the work. And by the way, we left Africa. When my family left Africa, and we left as a team of people in Africa, they went from 6 churches in West Africa to 156.
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence in the Africans to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Probably far better than we could, maybe. I don't know, That's very possible. We train them, and then they're very gifted people, having confidence that God is going to do the work. How do you reach China? How do you reach addicts in the city? How do you deal with crime, Where's your confidence? In the government?
Mm.
Thank God for them. But you know what? My confidence is in God.
Right.
I want to see addictions end. Confidence in God. That's the thing that they do. They spend thousands of dollars mm-hmm. on programmatic things that never really work when they could just simply promote the gospel and promote the person of Christ, having confidence in God.
It's interesting, Pastor Billy, that when we think about confidence in God, the person that I struggle with confidence in God the most in is me.
Yeah.
Struggle with confidence in God with me. So when we talk about the power of God working in us, the person we are most challenged in our thinking to be not confident about is me. We're always wondering, is God's power working with me? And there's always that fear that it's me working in me, right? Like you mentioned two things. You mentioned work and working. There is the finished work. That's the cross. And a lot of believers do believe in the general aspects of the finished work of what Christ did on the cross.
Position.
Yeah, the work. Okay, there was a work done. Okay. But then the working out of that work, which is what Philippians 2:13 is really talking about, the working out. If I don't understand how the work happened, I will try to work out the finished work.
Yes.
And sometimes you hear people, they say, okay, and which is a moral based argument. I'm going to try to be moral. And then here's what trips me up. Sin trips me up.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about today, we're not talking about the power not to sin. We're talking about power over sin. And that's a huge difference. Because even John said himself, 1 John, John says it better. He says that if we say we have no sin, we're wrong. If we say we have not sin, we're wrong. He's talking to believers.
Yeah.
So it's, in other words, sin happens in a believer's life, but he's not saying it's a lifestyle or a habit because we have power over it so that it become a habit, or that if it's a habit, it can be defeated. And what does that? Is it not the power of God? What works, like John 6:28, what must we do to work the work of God? In my life, what must I do to work the work of God? It's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The cross is where the work, Christ did the work, but the Spirit is the one that applies the work of the Son. And that includes sin. That's sin. Like, if I try to deal with sin in the power of my own morality, a lot of folks can quietly leave a church because of sin.
Yeah.
They look in their mirror like, I'm a sinful person. They park the car in Romans chapter 7, and they're like, look at me. I'm a sinner. I see the sin. It's ever before me. But I want to say this, and then I'll ask your comment about this. Of all the epistles in the New Testament, none of them speak about sin more than 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, watch John's balance. No other epistle speaks more about divine assurance than 1 John.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as much as John talks about sin with believers, and he's very strong, he also assures them. He says, I think it's 14 mm-hmm. times, we know. There's a lot of divine assurance. So understand, sin does not remove my divine assurance. But what he's saying is that when you live in the life of the Spirit, you have power over sin. Victory, in fact. In Romans chapter 5, 20 and 21, victory, in fact, because of the power of God working in us.
Mm-hmm.
The power of God working in us. Galatians chapter 5, 16 is a great verse. Walk in the Spirit, and mm-hmm. you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Amen.
That's the key. Because this is what religion says. Try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you're walking in the Spirit. They turn
yeah,
around.
Yeah, it's opposite.
Yeah, I do the work, right? And because I'm working hard not to sin, that means I'm Spirit-filled.
Yeah.
But God says, it's not perfection, it's participation. Walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of that, Christianity is not the avoidance of sin. That's morality.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is the acceptance of Christ. I'm walking in participation with Christ. And the fruit of that is that sin is not a lifestyle. It's not a practice. And when it happens, it's dealt mm-hmm. with. But then you continue in 1 John 1:9 to get up and walk with God. But that's what my confidence mm-hmm. is. If my confidence is in me avoiding the lust of the flesh, no wonder I'm insecure, right?
Well, you know, the greatest enemy of the Christian is the good side of the old sin nature.
Mm.
Because, mm-hmm. It's like human goodness is a worse enemy mm-hmm. than evil, the old sin nature.
And I'm avoiding evil.
Yeah.
But meanwhile.
Right. It's just like for the Christian, just performing the work of God without God. That's mm-hmm. really interesting. And that can take place. And how important it is for us to understand that it is God who works in us both to will and to do.
It is God.
He puts the will in, he puts the do
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Otherwise, why would God have given you the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Well, did the Holy Spirit write the Bible? Then who was able to perform the Bible?
He is.
The person of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is so key. And yet, so many people struggle in this lack of their understanding of the Spirit's life and work and the finished work position of the believer that they end up you know, well, somebody's got to do the work, you know, right. And they're not going to trust God to do the work.
So I got to do
they
it.
They won't say that,
right.
but they will do that. And so you shed your blood on the cross, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember the story I've often told about a pastor preaching. He talked about my church, mm-hmm. My gospel, my church, my life, my Bible school. And I said to him, gee, I didn't know that you died for my sins. You know, and you died for your own sins.
I was uninformed.
Could I see your can I see your hands and your side and your feet?
Yeah.
I want to see where the nails went through, you know, and he was somewhat embarrassed, but he was delivered.
Mm.
You know, it's a work of God, and this is very important, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the big problem. And I think maybe that's why, in some aspects, missions has struggled in some areas, because people are trying to perform in the good side of the old sin nature,
mm-hmm.
and not in the life of God himself,
yeah.
in the power of God himself. And so this Philippians is a great lesson for us when we think about the circumstances and the situation that's going on there, mm-hmm. and what Paul is saying to the Philippians,
mm-hmm.
how key that is, you know, and understanding that I cannot allow the entrance in of the good side of the old sin nature to deal with the evil side.
Yeah, I got to be careful in the work of God. No matter how crazy Philippi was, Paul's in jail himself.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
still says, me in jail in shackles, the pastor sick, sin in the church. Yeah. I am still going to rely on the power of God yeah. working in his people, not around his people. Because sometimes you, pastor, you can also think that God's working around me, but not through me, and that I have to do something to kind of make it happen and connect. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about being renewed in your mind. Pastor Shalom mm-hmm. preached a great message yeah. on it recently. How do I have power over sin with a renewed mind?
Thinking with God.
Yep.
That's Colossians 3:10, Ephesians mm-hmm. 4:21-24, Romans 12:1-2. My mind it's renewed. It's mm-hmm. not getting some thoughts that are from man that are new, mm-hmm. but it's being renewed in the spirit of the mind, being renewed in the new man, and thinking with God.
Yes.
See, this is the big problem. When I don't think with God, then I will not meditate with God, and I will not make decisions with God, and there'll be no action sourced in God.
Mm-hmm.
So the thinking is so key.
Yes.
This is why we talk about Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
need to understand that. And by the way, the word that people don't like, they don't like to hear it too often, is the word repent. It just means changing your thinking. And Bible school is a place of repentance.
Wow.
You change your thinking, metanoia.
That's amazing.
And you change your thinking, and
that's
then
a great thought.
What takes place after that? Your thinking changes, and then the decisions change,
right.
and the activity changes. And now
I like that.
You're operating in the new person. But you don't want to hear, people don't want to hear that word. You know?
Well, it's always associated with sin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, if I see it's a negative word, because it's a punitive word, repentance
yeah.
means penalty, yeah. punitive, like it's a punishment for the believer. You need to repent, and yeah. the way it's been brought.
Yeah.
But you said something I've never heard before, that Bible school is a place of repentance. That's rich.
Changing your thinking.
Old school pastor, that'll preach. That's a good word. Bible school is a place of repentance. That, okay, in my thinking, I was thinking about that thought, Romans 12:2. Okay, what happens with a renewed mind? Number one, I know how to think about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have God's mind for every. I know how to think. Number two, I know what to think about and what not to think about. Because that's
yeah.
important, because where does sin begin? Epithumia, that which is upon the mind. It begins in the mind. So yeah. if I strike the root, the root, the tree of sin at its root, I've got to go to my thinking, right? And then number three, a renewed mind has the ability to be correctable. So if
yeah.
I do think improperly, it can be brought right back. So that's how I can deal with sin. I know how to think about everything, including sin. I know what to focus on and what not to focus on. And then I'm correctable. I'm malleable. I'm fluid. I'm spiritually fluid. I can learn how to be adjustable in grace and say, okay, God, I'm going to walk in the spirit, apply the finished work, walk in the new man, walk in a renewed life, and continue with, and then I have confidence.
Well, let me ask you a question. What if people come to church and they don't hear messages about God's thoughts and God's mind? Then what do they end up doing? They end up just living basically in their own thinking,
yes.
and thinking of this world,
yeah.
or religious thinking, thinking of the good side of the old sin nature. I mm-hmm. want to come to church, and I come to church. Guess what? repentance and church go together. Mm. In other words, like I've come to church so I can have my mind changed. Mm-hmm. I can think correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't think of church as being a place of repentance.
Once again,
because they don't understand the word repentance.
But it's Pastor, culturally, historically, religiously, it's punitive.
Yeah,
when it's almost like it's as bad as you're going. It's like going to your timeout. It's like going to your room. You feel bad when someone says to another, "You need to repent." Or even people when they say it, like, "I had to repent because." Yeah. They don't see it holistically. They just see it when it relates to sin. But if I have God's mind about the work of the cross, and I have God's spirit about working the work of the cross, then I am available to handle sin the way God handles sin, mm-hmm. through the cross. And then I have confidence with God and I deal with in my right thinking. I know how to think. The word of God in my mind, it doesn't return void. It's useful even for sin.
Why do we read the Bible?
Yeah.
I mean, really, because it's God's way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It's God's mind. Philippians 2:5, Paul says to the Philippians, mm-hmm. there's something that you need to do. This mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You got to make a decision to let it in. Okay. I can say no to it.
That's true.
I can let in all kinds of other thinking. I can let in, you know, cultural thinking. I can let in so-called religious thinking.
And it might not be bad. It could be moral. It could be decent.
It could be. Like, in other words, somebody said to me, you should be planting a church in America. Mm-hmm. What are you going to Africa for? That sounds good, you know, but that was not God's mind. Mm-hmm. And so me planting a church in America was an obstacle to what God had called me to do in Africa. Mm-hmm. You got to be very careful about that because it can really bring a person in a whole different direction.
God's
mind. Learning how to think with God, this is so key. This is what we want to do every day.
Sure.
We need to teach. That's why Christian school is important. That's why coming to church is important, because I can learn mm-hmm. how to think with God.
Which addresses sin.
Yeah.
Because that's where sin begins. It begins in my thinking. And I don't have to fear sin, okay? I don't have to fear sin, but I can have power over sin. That's why I don't fear sin. I have power. I don't have to, in other words, I can hate sin, but I don't have to fear sin. It's a reality in a believer's life that there'll be moments when you're not thinking with God, when you're not spirit filled. John says it very clearly. Those should be isolated moments. In fact, he says it in one text, and if and you will sin. But he says, how you handle that, does it have power over you, or do you have power over it? Did what happened on the cross remove its power, or did you energize it with your free will and give it power? Mm-hmm. Did you give sin power? And if he gave you power, it gives you fear, which is what 1 John 3:21 talks about. If your heart condemns you, then God knows all things. But it says in the second verse, second 22, it says, but if your heart condemns you not, then you have confidence with God. Why does my heart condemn me not? Because I understand mm-hmm. even in the area of sin that God has victory over sin. And in God, I have victory over sin.
How about when Jesus, he's talking about going to the cross, and, mm-hmm. and Peter says, may that thought be far from
you. Yes.
And he says, get thee hence, Satan. Mm. He calls his leading apostle, his leading disciple, Satan. For you savor, the word is phroneo, your mm-hmm. mindset's wrong. You savor not the things that be of God, but the things of man. He's saying man's thinking is not God's thinking. So we can think like a man. And it could be good human thinking. It's not God.
Right.
And he says he connects man's thinking outside of God with Satan. Mm-hmm. Think about that one.
Wow.
You know, in other words, the educational system without God's thinking is a satanic system. People don't want to hear that. Well, you know,
Ephesians 2:2-2:3 kind of say that.
Yeah.
Great comments from online. I'll read a few here. Aretha Carter says, good morning to our faithful pastors. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us gives us victory to overcome sin. Yes, Aretha. That's Galatians 5:16. Carol Bailey says, Holy Spirit reveals to us when we are occupied with self and pride. He will. Continual fellowship with him in complete surrender is a growing life of grace with his mind in the word. Ray Matthews says, Colossians 3:10, put on the new man. Yes, that's the echo of Ephesians 4:20,
4,
yeah,
which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The word changes our mind that leads to renewed action, and the word makes to makes to live by daily. Elizabeth says, fellowship in the word involves reading, listening, and believing the word, which gives us victory. And Elizabeth, that gives me the right frame of reference for sin. Okay, mm-hmm. I got to be careful that my view of towards sin is not moral. It's got to be spiritual, because God's view towards sin is not moral. Moral is a low application for sin. We live through the cross, so it's got to be through the Holy Spirit and spiritual, not through the activity of sin, or not even through the nature of sin, but through the work of the cross and the nature of God.
We could get a comment from Pastor Manny out in Long Beach, California. I know he can't call because we don't take calls anymore, and whatever that meant, however that happened. But we could get some kind of a signal from him about we'll be out in Long Beach, California on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Mm-hmm. And we'll be meeting with a number of people around the West Coast and hopefully building them up and ministering to them. And tonight we have Bible school, too. You're welcome to come. We have Bible school in the summer. Can you imagine that? Bible school continues every Friday night.
Around.
From, I think it's 6 or 6:30. I don't even know the time.
I believe it's 6.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Tonight, and this is the subject tonight. And so this is the mind of God for tonight. Faithfulness. This is the key subject. Faithfulness and faith. We're going to talk about 7 sources of faith.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the armor of God and warfare, 7 mm-hmm. parts of the armor. We're going to talk about how to define the word good. Mm-hmm. We see the word good used, I think, 25 times mm-hmm. in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Then we're going to talk about 17 aspects of the battle.
Okay.
That we're in a battle, and 17 different warfare battles that we are involved with. And so you're welcome to come. It's free.
That's a great mindset. That's a great
thinking with God.
That's a great teaching from my thinking concerning walking in victory over sin.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's this whole, I like what you said earlier. It's not just a power, it's a person. We have a person in us, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us in Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, and Romans 5:5. We have a person of the Holy Spirit living in us, and it is the power of that person working through us that enables mm-hmm. us to, number one, think correctly about sin. Number two, to convict us in John chapter 16 concerning sin, to remind us God's mind about sin in John 14, 26, and then empower us and quicken us in Romans 8, 11 to walk from sin, to recover, to be reestablished in our relationship with God, to get past it. We don't have to fear sin. Some believers, when they got saved, they were shocked. They still sinned. They still made mistakes because you believed that salvation was perfection, and it's not. Salvation was an invitation to participation. It wasn't an invitation to perfection in time. So you may make mistakes, so don't be startled when you do, but you want God's mind for when you do, because God's mind will define your source of power. If you don't mm-hmm. have God's mind, you become the source of power.
How about this one? As you're talking about the mind of God,
yep.
like Christians have lost their mind.
Okay.
When you've lost God's mind, you've lost your mind. You don't have a mind. In other words, a mindless Christianity. Sad to say, why is it that only 10% of 8 billion people on planet Earth are born again? They say 750 to 800 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I believe it's because Christianity has lost its mind. It doesn't have the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
Born again, yes. But thinking with God, is that mm-hmm. what's taking place? Like, and you've planted churches and you've been involved with Africa missions and you've been involved in America. Do you often see churches in their numbers out on the streets evangelizing, door knocking and whatnot?
Practically never.
Practically never, but sometimes you do see some.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. So what's happened? So Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20 and 21, Acts 1 has been eliminated. As far as like bringing the gospel into all the world, our churches doing it. Oh no, we're going to have a benefit turkey dinner, and that's going to bring people. And then maybe you'll give them a gospel message, which is good. Okay, that's okay. But is that all that people do? What's happened? What happened to the mind of God? he that winneth souls has wisdom. The Great Commission, mm-hmm. Commission of Grace. What's happened to all the thought patterns about how Jesus went after people?
Yeah.
John 3, a religious man. John 4, an immoral woman. John 5, a sick man. I mean, just think about how Jesus went after individuals, mm-hmm. one-on-one, speaking. Yes, he would preach to multitude, 5,000, 6,000, you know, in the miracle of the loaves and all mm-hmm. that. But he was always going after people.
Sure.
And this is the Christianity in this area has lost its mind. I mean, I've been in maybe close to 110 countries, mm-hmm. and I do not hear about a lot of churches. I mean, they do crusades sometimes.
Yep.
They'll do a crusade and whatever, and thank God that's good. And sometimes the people that come forward are people that believe that they can lose the Holy Spirit, so they just keep coming forward all the time.
Usually,
they're getting saved again.
Yeah, because usually there's sin in their life.
Yeah,
and I'm born again. And that's interesting. A lot of people who think they lost their salvation
yeah.
is because of sin in their life, not because they're not living for God, but because of choices they've made outside of God, which yeah. I'll repeat this, it bears repeating. No other epistle in the New Testament speaks more about the believer in sin than 1 John, but mm-hmm. no other epistle in the New Testament speaks more about eternal security sure, and blessed yeah. assurance than 1 John. So what does that mean? That means that, yeah, John is addressing sin. We should address sin, but he's not removing salvation for it. So you shouldn't believe you can lose salvation because you sin. What you need is God's mind for your sin.
Exactly.
Right? And you need God's mind to deal with your sin. Some more quotes from online here. Kia says, in my weakness, he is strong. Yes, Kia, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that is absolutely true. But I have to empower that. I have to participate and plug in. It's not that I'm weak and I avoid God, but I'm weak and I draw near to God. And when in my weakness, I draw near, that's when I discover, number one, strength, but number two, the victory I have over the very thing I'm weak about. Richard Ribeiro says, beautiful thoughts, confidence in him. Often there is provocation from the atmosphere that we are weak and we cannot make it, but have confidence in him mm-hmm. makes it easier. It makes it easier because he's the one that can make it. I can't make anything but problems.
And he's in a country where it's 99.9% of a certain yep. religious
mm-hmm.
emphasis.
Wow.
And really, so thank you, Richard.
You got to think, in that atmosphere, you got to have confidence. You got to see the God working through you because you don't have any other options. Laird Bean says, hi, Laird, by the way, I've always hated to be called religious when I have a relationship with a person who is God in heaven. Amen. It's a relationship. Imagine a relationship with a power. I don't have a relationship with the electric company. It's a relationship with a person, not a power. Elizabeth says, thank you. Without the mind of God, we have lost our minds. We need God's mind and by faith, obeying the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change that to first, not obeying the Holy Spirit, but first responding to the Holy Spirit, which is mm-hmm. obedience.
Really. Receiving.
Yeah, I'm receiving and I'm responding to the Holy Spirit and he leads me. Right. That's that Galatians 5:16. I'm walking in a relationship and he's leading me. Chinchal says Christians are more occupied with the world than God. So their thinking in the mind is not as a Christian to follow God.
Well, that's true. The world has, we've been raised our whole lives until we get saved mm-hmm. with a mindset that's outside of God. Mm. And then even when we get saved, there's so much coming at us mm. from a mind that's contrary to God's mind.
Right.
And we take it in. And people will do all kinds of things that seem to be good, but they're not God because they've been initiated to by the mindset of this world or of a good old sin nature.
Okay.
But it's not God's mind. Think about that. Why is there so much involved today with addictions, whether they're alcohol addictions, drug addictions, whatever it may be? Because people aren't thinking with God. They don't really believe that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Even with Christians, it's amazing. Even with people that are born again, they got saved, but somehow they have wandered back into the thinking of this world, and they find themselves operating with a worldly mindset
mm-hmm.
in their marriage, in their place of work, with their family, raising their children. And their mindset is absolutely and totally wrong. And it's really interesting. And so how does that happen? Well, what do we do about that? We got to get God's mind.
Yep.
It says, let this mind be in you. I got to let it in. Mm-hmm. It's a decision that I make, you know? And so some people are living out the results of a life based upon the mindset of this world, the mindset of the devil, the mindset of the old sin nature, and they're reaping the results of it. And then they can't figure out why. They pray to God, and they never get an answer. You know why? Because God already gave the answer, which is his mind. Mm. Why don't you start thinking with God? Why don't you start reading your Bible? Why don't you start thinking the way God thinks? Right. And then maybe these things wouldn't happen. So they don't get an answer because God already gave the answer.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. And so they will do everything they can to avoid that. I'm going, we're just going to pray. Are you going to pray without God's mind?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Then what are you going to be praying about? How are you going to be praying? When are you going to be praying? So I need the mind of God. Let this mind be in you. It's a decision that I make. I want to be in a church where I'm hearing the Bible being preached. Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening to you, Christian? Are you in a church where the Bible's being preached, or is it some kind of philosophical, psychological message with a little bit of a bent to it, using a verse once in a while and saying, praise the Lord, or hallelujah? Are you thinking with God? Are you in a place where the pastor, by the way, if the pastor's not thinking with God, where's that church going to go? Mm. I've seen churches all over the world, and when the pastor's not thinking with God, the churches, they have really no effect at all.
Mm.
That's why there's 8 billion people in this world, and 90% of them are lost.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blame somebody for that, but I'm saying if we're thinking with God, we're going to care about souls. We go on evangelism tomorrow.
Yep.
All right, come to the fellowship hall at 9 o'clock. You're thinking with God. If you're thinking with eating 3 breakfasts, then you won't be there. If you're thinking about sleeping till 12 because it's Saturday, you won't be there, you know, whatever. But if you're thinking with God, you can come down half asleep and hungry.
and hungry.
Yeah, and you'll find yourself getting quickened by the purpose and plan of God.
But there it is.
Food to eat that you know not of.
The power, and we don't relate this, but the power to serve is the same power over sin. It's the same power.
Yeah.
It's amazing what believers can believe God for power for. I can believe God for power for this and power for that, but I cannot believe God for power over sin. So let me ask a direct question, Pastor Billy. Okay.
You got a direct question.
Do you have a believer who is struggling in an area in sin? How do they have power? How do they exercise the power of God to work it over sin?
Simple. Power comes from the word.
Okay.
Hebrews 4, 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to go to the word and have my thinking changed. As we said, repentance, changing your mind. So what I would do, like say I have, there's an area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It could be selfishness. It could be worrying always about finances. Okay. I got to go to the Bible and I got to get specific teaching doctrine in the mind of God on finances and trusting God. Then I've got to not only study it, I've got to receive it, take it in, meditate upon it, think it through, and develop a new mindset towards it. Then the power of the Spirit comes through God's word.
Excellent.
It doesn't just come like some kind of like mystical thing from the outside. Yeah. No, it comes through the word of God because the Spirit wrote the word.
Yes.
So I get God's mind, then I ask for the application of faith by the Spirit's and the person of the Spirit, and then we'll see change take place. Mm. Otherwise, there's not going to be any victory. I've seen all kinds of people that are Christians have drug and alcohol problems, and they never got victory because they never approached it correctly.
Wow.
They never approached it correctly. They never got God's mind. They went to a program, and somehow that you put them in a straitjacket, you can keep them from using drugs and all that, let them out of the straitjacket. You didn't put their mind in a straitjacket.
Wow.
Their mind is in thinking with God.
That's
so as soon as they're done with their sentence or their time in a program or a prison, they come out and they do the same thing again because they haven't had their mind changed.
That's it. That's good. That's good. That's a great perspective, and that's a great counsel for someone. If you're listening to the program and you are suffering in an area of sin, or you want to experience more of the power of God in victory of sin over your practical living and your walk of faith, listen to this program again. This is great words from Pastor Billy. I'm Pastor Rinaldo. This is the Grace Hour. We look forward to seeing you next week. You can find us here this weekend, Sunday at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, 9 and 11. And you can also see us at 6:30 as well. And don't forget tonight at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, there's Bible College from 6 to 8. Look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. We'll catch you next week on The Grace Hour.